Bathhouse Ballads, April the 30th, 2010. Sausages and Shit, Comparisons in Smut Humour. Around a year ago, I wrote several mini plays for my younger students with the intention of encouraging stress and intonation and injecting some emotion into what was often flat and dull dialogue. Out of this came an idea to write something using those words which Koreans always mispronounce. I trialled I'm Pine in a small class and quite scared the kids, as I was the only one laughing. Indeed, I was hysterical and all red-faced and coughing. Meanwhile, the kids looked on without the slightest clue what I was laughing at. I abandoned the project when I realised that fana-fana, innuendo and smut work as effectively on Koreans as sarcasm. However, if you pronounce sarcasm more like sarcasm or sarkashi, it will elicit a response, as this has something to do with oral sex. If you use this word on kindergarten kids, you'll need to explain it more graphically, perhaps by way of eating a banana or a sausage. Have you noticed how you can have a room full of Korean kids eating bananas or sausages, and no one ever makes a joke or gesture about sucking a cock? In a class of British kids, there will always be one who makes the connection public. My sister and I can never eat phallic food without making jokes or obscene gestures, and many a time one of us has deep-throated a banana after using our teeth to quickly groove it a suitable helmet and meatus. A banana might not strike one as a suitable replica of a cock, but one advantage is you can embellish it with far greater success than, for example, a sausage. Bockwurst sausages, the most realistic of all phallic foods, are particularly amusing, as like truly big cocks, no matter how hard you slurp, they remain bendy. Bratwurst too can slip in and out of the throat, provided not too hot or over-grilled, when the skin splits and they can scratch your throat. Westerners are much more apt to defile items resembling a cock in terms of texture or shape, and pepperonis, lychees, strawberries, bananas, the entire gamut of sausages, marrows, courgettes, cucumbers, etc., etc., are all the butt of our crude humour. Can we Westerners eat a banana or saveloy in public without a fleeting association of it being a cock? Is it possible for us to eat a banana without some awareness that we mustn't lavish our lips too long on the tip or caress it fleetingly with a tongue? We must certainly never suck it, like a lolly. That's a cardinal sin. And what about rock, the great British seaside tradition? Rock and things like barley sticks can all be vigorously sucked without ever offending the sensibilities, as can corn on the cob, the eating of which is never passive and certainly reminiscent of nuzzling along the girth of a bloated shaft. In commercials, it is permissible to suggest oral gratification, provided the object being sucked, or more usually poked between pouted lips of a sexy woman, is something lifeless, and hence lollies and cream eggs are often subject to titillation. For the juvenile British commercial, fellatio is epitomised by the Cadbury's chocolate flake, in which the references are all cock, but the moment the tongue probes that helmetless stump, the thing either melts or flakes apart. There is an unspoken rule that sucking or licking something in public, or alluding to the oral stimulation of a penis, is acceptable provided the phallus in play is hard, unyielding, cold, fragile, brittle, and basically void of any life. Once all the qualities of life are removed, all potential threats nullified and nicified, you can lick it and suck it as much as you like. That is why it is okay to suck a lolly, the rigidity and cold reminiscent of a cock with rigour rather than one with vigour, but not a banana. This is the reason you can never suck on a saveloy or nuzzle up the shaft of a succulent sausage, holding it daintily between your fingers, and it is why, in your favourite bistro, you can never dip the head of your Cumberland in the creamy mashed potato, lube it up with a smidgen of thick gravy, and commence to lick it like a lolly. Such associations are lost on Koreans, and to me at least, with my filthy Western mind, it seems as though such humour should be universal. I mean, a sausage, especially a long bendy one, it's a cock, isn't it? 6 inches plus of warm meat, firm but not unyielding, broad enough to gnaw, like a sweet corn, slightly oily, and let's not forget, juicy. They even have a skin. How could such characteristics not remind you of a cock? But give a Korean a turd, especially one whirled like an ice cream, and they'll be highly amused. Seriously, one of the first words I learnt to recognise was dong. In those first few weeks in Korea, I was quite intrigued by the appeal that many kids had for drawing ice cream whirls on desks and walls. Why ice cream, I thought. Are they hungry? There was a Baskin-Robbins opposite my school, but their ice cream wasn't whirled, and the whirls, expertly drawn, were literally everywhere, on desks, on the walls, and even in notebooks. Naturally, such visualisations are culturally informed. I shit quite differently back in the UK, where my turds, and those left loitering in toilet bowls which I have had the misfortune to see, are rarely whirled. A whirled turd, probably symptomatic of a bad stomach. No, Western poos are more like Yuletide logs, bulky, loaded, substantive, and sticky. If you've lived in Korea for any amount of time, and your diet is predominantly Korean food, you may have noticed how long a toilet roll lasts. 2 wodges are ample to clean your ass because you shit so fast, any residue left loitering in your dirt track is dragged out by suction. If I had to calculate the time it takes to sit down, shit, and mop up, then on an average basis the process is far quicker on a Korean diet. Living in Korea actually adds time to your life, because the moment you sit down, whang, and it's out. 2 little dabs with toilet paper, wash your hands, and you're done. You have to wash your hands if you're from the UK, as research by a British university discovered that 15-53% of British people have traces of shit on their hands. Apparently, the further north you travel, the shittier the hands. Since being made aware of this, as an act of both sanitation and disassociation, I now use antibacterial hand wash after every dump. Pooing Korean style can take place in less than a minute. Korean fecal flurry can't wait to get out. Indeed, your body blasts it into the loo in one atomic fart. But the moment you hit Western food, the pastries, bread, burgers, potatoes, pizza, and copious amounts of meat, and every fibre of your lower intestines is fighting to keep that clotted log contained in your gut, and it's so gargantuan in girth and solid in consistency that expelling it, like birthing, takes not just considerable willpower, but a highly rubberous ring piece. In its wake, a trail of muck, always sticky, pasty and clingy, and which can only be removed by massaging it around your butt, sort of rubbing it off, with half a roll of paper. No wonder we need extra ply shit paper and little lotion wipes to prod our butts, because an English diet, and this is the worst part, involves having to manually dredge yourself. With all that poking, and a paper-draped digit, even double ply, is never a reliable defence, I'm not surprised many Brits have shit on their hands. And I wonder how much psychological damage is done having to finger around the flesh of that dirty clam on a daily basis. How much of our national psyche is shaped by those turdy experiences? No wonder we don't like to touch each other and seldom shake hands. No wonder we are so unfriendly. No wonder poo is taboo. Fingering shit first thing in the morning is a vile and shameful way to start the day, and knowing that everyone else has been digging dirt is hardly conducive to community spirit.